Okay, so we're going to do the second part of Azya Shir. We're going to do this shir for Refu Shalema for a cousin of my wife, a 1.5-year-old baby who was diagnosed with liver cancer. His name is Yeshua David Ben Risha. So last week we stopped in the middle of Azya Shir. We said that Adirim had two pshatim. One pshat was that the water was mighty, and the other pshat was the mighty people, the Egyptians, were drowned in the water. So we're starting today with Micha Mocha Be'elam Hashem. So Shimon Schwab tells us that one of the things that we learn from this enslavement and all the persecutions that we've suffered in our history is that Hashem permits Rishayim to become Adirim, to become powerful people that can inflict great suffering upon Klal Yisrael. And as we say, Micha Mocha Be'elam Hashem, Micha Mocha Nedar B'Kodesh. And the Gemara states, Divei Rabbi Shmuel Tana and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they learned Micha Mocha Be'elam Hashem, means Michamocha Be'ilmim Hashem, which is further explained in the Mechilta, meaning Michamocha Be'ilmim, meaning Shomea Elbon, Banecha V'Shosek, that you hear the suffering of your children, but yet you remain silent as if you're mute. And Chazal say that's why Be'ilim is spelled without a Yud in this Pasuk, and therefore it's an allusion to the word of Elam, of being mute. Now what Chazal are conveying to us with this drush is the following, is that the word Elam means the powerful forces of nature, and that these forces in nature are completely silent to the outcries of tortured human beings. And Rav Schwab gives the example, he says, on the days when tens of thousands of our brethren were screaming in terror and pain while they were being brutally and sadistically murdered in Auschwitz, the birds continued their chirping, the flowers still blossomed, the sun still shone. Nature did not take notice of all the indescribable torture and screams of the innocent people. The natural forces of the world remain mute, and they do not cry out when such outrages are committed. While Bnei Yisrael was suffering under the yoke of their enslavement and in torture in Mitzrayim, they could not understand how Hashem also seemed to remain silent in face of all their suffering. They understood that the forces of nature, the Elam, can be Elam, that they could be deaf and mute to the world's suffering. But how could Hashem, who created them, also be Elam, also be deaf and mute to the cries of the Jewish mothers, the Jewish fathers, while their children were being thrown into the Nile River? Is he too silent as the forms of nature? And this was very difficult to understand. However, once Klal Yisrael came to Kriyas Yamsuf, when the redemption from Mitzrayim were finalized, it was complete, they reached the level in their Emunah in which they accepted the Tsar of the Gullahs together with the Geula. And Chazal see it in this peculiar spelling of the Be'elim as a reference to this acceptance by Bnei Yisrael, to the fact that Hashem was Elam, he was silent in the face of their suffering. And in the Shira, Bnei Yisrael did not only exult over their Geula at this point, but they also were praising Hashem who had caused their suffering in their Gullahs. And they understood that the Mitzrayim had become Adirim over them only because it was the will of Hashem. And this thought continues, that Mikamocha Nedar B'Kodesh, Kedusha is something which is separated. There's nothing as powerful and as far removed from our understanding as you, Hashem, are. While we praise you and accept our suffering, we simply cannot have any answers to the questions of Mikamocha Be'ilmim Hashem. And then the pasuk closes, Noris Ehilos Osefela. It's awesome to be able to praise Hashem when he does wondrous deeds for us. However, we tend to offer praises only on the good things. But actually, we're required to do so both for good and for bad, as the Mishnah tells us, Chayiv Adam, Levarech Al Hara, Geshem Shem Levarech Al Atova, a person's Chayiv, to bless Hashem on the bad, just like he does on the good. Shenemar V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha, V'chol Navshcha, V'chol Meodecha, and they darshan Meodecha means B'chol Mida Umida, for every Mida, Shehu Modeid Lo, Havi Modeid Lo, for every Mida, good or bad, which he meets out to you, we should be thankful to him. Now, while we can appreciate and offer praise to Hashem for the nisim that result in our redemption, we tend not to understand the lack of these nisim when we cry out for help and are apparently not answered, which is also pella, wondrous. The words nerusihilos mean that it's with a trepidation that we offer praise to Hashem for the good things that happen in our lives, because in doing so, we may lose sight of the obligation to praise Hashem even for the things we cannot understand. However, with Micha Mocha, Bnei Yisrael did finally express their full acceptance of the goals that they had just gone through. This concept of accepting suffering, besimcha, in the same manner as we rejoice over good in our lives, refer to Klal Yisrael in a general aspect and to every individual in particular who suffers any pain or tsar that he does not understand. And the Mechaber tells us, Chayiv Adam Levarech Ha'ara, person's chayiv to bless for the good, B'dash Shleimo V'nefesh Chafetza, K'derech Shem Levarech B'simcha Al-Tova, K'ero Lov De'Hashem Hi Simchoscham, V'Tovosam, K'evon Shem Akabal Me'ahava, Masha Gozer Lov Hashem, So Nimtzu Shekabolos Ra Zuhu Oved Es Hashem Shi Simchalo, which means that a person's obligated to bless Hashem for the bad with complete knowledge and willing spirit, just as he blesses with joy for good. Because the bad for those who serve Hashem is their joy and goodness, because he accepts with love whatever was decreed for him by Hashem, and it emerges, therefore, that this acceptance is as if he's serving Hashem with a joy for him. And what the Mechaber here means is that the acceptance of suffering becomes a form of the Avodas Hashem. And as with all Avodas Hashem, it has to be done b'simcha, as we have already mentioned, Ivdu Es Hashem b'simcha. Rav Shimon Schwab then continues and tells us that this last part of the Shira now, beginning with Nechisa b'chastacham zuga alta, is best understood in the light with the pasuk of Achad Osar Yom Mechorev Derech Hatzeir Kodesh Barnei. It was 11 days of travel from Chorev to the way of Harseir to get to Kodesh Barnei, to get to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us over there that the entire stay in the Midbar after Matan Torah should have lasted 11 days, which would have been the normal travel time to reach Eretz Yisrael. And the following, therefore, is now being said against this background. We say, Nechista b'chastacham zuga alta, nehalta v'azachal neve kotshecha, shamu amim yugozun chalachas yoshvei peloshes. The awesome Nisim, in connection with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, culminating with Kriyas Yamtsuf, had plunged the entire world, the nations of the entire region, into fear for their lives. The Plishtim were the people who lived directly in the territory between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, and thus, in their minds, they feared that they would be the first nation overrun by Bnei Yisrael. Then we continue as Nefhalo Alufei Edom, Elei Moviv, Zay Marad. However, no one knew the route that Bnei Yisrael would take, and therefore Edom and Moav found the possibility Bnei Yisrael might come through their territory and conquer them. Namogu Kol Yoshei Canaan. Obviously, Canaan had what to fear, because everyone knew that Hashem promised the land of Canaan to Bnei Yisrael. We then say, Tipo Aleim, Emosav Afachad, Bigdol Zeracha, Yidmu Ka'oven, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa, Tiviemo, Visiteemo, Bahar Nachloscha, Mochon, Leshivlecha, Paalta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Kanu Yedecha. And these two psukim reflect that this was the original plan, which was supposed to happen. We were supposed to leave Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael would go directly to Eretz Yisrael after Shivas Batamuz, which would have been the day that Moshe came down from the 40 days spent in Har Sinai for Kabbalah Satorah. And at that point, they would go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe would build the base of Migdash, and it would have been the final Geula, which we're still waiting for. However, at this point, something happened that changed the course of history. And this occurred when Bnei Yisrael exclaimed, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vaed. And we find in the Mechilta, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Ilu Amru Yisrael Al Hayom, if had Klal Yisrael said at Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem Melech Le'olam Vaed, that Hashem is currently the king, Lohaya Uma Veloshen Shaletes Bem Le'olam, it would have never, there would have been no nation, no languages, nothing would have ever been able to rule over them. Ela Amru Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vaed La'asad Lavo. However, Klal Yisrael said, Hashem will become king, and that's in the future. And at that lofty moment that of when Klal Yisrael saw what everything was, they saw more than Yechezkel HaNavi, as we know, they should have said Hashem Melech, Hashem currently is king. But instead, they strangely only expressed that wish that at some time in the future, Hashem Yimloch, Hashem will reign forever. And to understand this, Rav Shimon Schwab explains that the reason Klal Yisrael did not say Hashem Melech, but they rather said Hashem Yimloch, is because Hashem Melech, they would have had to forfeit their Bechira. That had they recognized Hashem as king of the universe at that moment, it would have resulted, as we said, in that immediate, unopposed settlement of Eretz Yisrael, the building of the Beis HaMikdash as the capital of the Malchus Shemayim on earth, and it would have brought about the euphoric period of the Moshe Mashiach, which is the ultimate goal of mankind in the world. However, Bnei Yisrael was fearing the loss of their Bechira, therefore they preferred to say only Hashem Yimloch, that there'll be a recognition of Malchus Shemayim sometime in the future. But for now, we want to serve Hashem through Bechira, we want to use our Bechira now, Avodas Hashem. And that changed the course of history. We then continue, Kiva Sus Paro, Rav Shimon Schwab mentions it's the minig of the Yekis not to say this pasuk in Az Yashir. We Ashkenazim, and I believe Sephardim do say it. And then we continue with several psukim of Malchus, which we try to substitute for that mistake of not saying Hashem Melech. And we say, Ki La Hashem Hamlucha Moshe B'Goyim, and there's a difference between a Melech and a Moshe. A Melech is a king who's accepted by the consensus of the governed. One can speak with him. A Moshe is a ruler, a dictator. So we're saying that we accept Hashem as our king, but to those nations that do not accept him, then for them he will become a ruler. However, eventually this is all going to change. And at that time, and according to the Radak, the Moshiach mean Melech Mashiach v'chaverov, Melech Mashiach and his friends. And after the elimination of the evil of the world, which is represented by Esav, Hashem will then reign supreme. And as long as Esav has any power in the world, then Hashem, the throne of Hashem will remain incomplete. We then say, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom hu yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And Rashi Schwab explains that there are different ways in which people perceive Hashem. His name is different to different people. There are people and nations who believe in one God, but have a different way of understanding this. However, this pasuk refers to a time when the entire world will understand Hashem as we do. Shmo echad will be one name. And this means that the entire world will share our understanding of the one and only universal God as taught in the Torah. And this is where most of us end as Yashir. However, Shimon Schwab brings that in his Kehillah in Frankfurt, and I believe the Sfaradim do the same thing, they end with one more pasuk, and they say, V'saroscha kosov lemar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And this is explained by Rashi, that Hashem Shuhel Elokeinu Ata, Hashem who is our God now, V'lo Elokeinu Umos, and is not the God of the world, who Asad Leos Hashem Echad, will eventually be the Hashem Echad. And with this, we close the V'namlicha Malkeinu portion, and with the Shira said properly, then we're ready to enter in the Heichal and ready to have Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and have say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Malkeinu Hashem Echad. Now to close with the story and with the homework, the story talks about a flight going from JFK to Tel Aviv. And it says it's the last call for Flight 47. All remaining passengers, please board now. And the stragglers who waited for the last minute quickly gathered up their belongings and rushed to the gate. Off to the side of the waiting area was a young woman with her face buried in her sitter, oblivious to that last call. Young lady, a flight attendant called out to her, you better get moving or you'll miss the flight. The young woman didn't respond. It was as if she was encased in a soundproof bubble, just she and Hashem, and nothing else existed. Meanwhile, the flight attendant informed the pilot there was one passenger who still had not boarded. She's praying, and it seems that she can't be interrupted, the attendant explained. The pilot shrugged his shoulders in resignation. What could he do? The girl was praying, and he would have to wait. But he would delay takeoff only a couple of minutes. After all, the airline had a schedule to keep, and the woman certainly could have planned her prayers for earlier in the day. It wouldn't be his fault if she missed the flight, the pilot reasoned. The few-minute grace period passed. The pilot looked at his clock. It was getting late. He made his decision, proceed toward takeoff, and began his approach to the runway. Suddenly, the plane came to a halt. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some mechanical difficulties, the pilot announced. Please follow the flight attendant's directions for disembarking. Our mechanics will be working on the problem. A wave of confusion, muttering, rose up in the passenger cabin. People reached for their belongings and began edging their way into the crowded aisles, inching slowly toward the exits. The technical issue was now clear for them all to see and smell. A thick black smoke was billowing out of one engine, surrounding the plane in a menacing cloud. How could they put us on such a junk heap? One irate passenger asked out loud. Yeah, looks like it's about to blow up, another concurred. The entire grumbling, frustrated crowd reassembled in the waiting area and looked for ways to pass the time while the crew mechanics scrutinized the engine part by part, seeking the source of the smoke. There did not seem to be anything amiss. In fact, the smoke disappeared as quickly and mysteriously as it had appeared. Once the mechanics were satisfied that there were no hidden problems, they gave the go-ahead to resume the flight. Once again, a voice on the loudspeaker urged the passengers to board the plane to prepare for takeoff. Rav Chaim Zayed, the head of Yeshiva Teres Yosef B'nei Brak, was one of those getting ready to board. In addition to running a yeshiva, he was also involved in Arachim, a kiruv organization. Now, before the passengers had finished boarding the first time, Rabbi Zayed had noticed this young woman who opted to miss the flight rather than interrupt her prayers. Now he noticed that she was still in the waiting area, but she was heading in the opposite direction. Perhaps she didn't realize it was the same flight that she was scheduled to take. He dashed quickly in her direction to catch her before she wandered too far. Excuse me, he called. young woman turned around and saw Reb Zayed approaching. "I'm Reb Zayed," he said. "I noticed that earlier you were davening while the flight was boarding and you missed the final call. I just want you to know the flight was delayed and everyone had to get off the plane. They're boarding again right now, so you can actually catch the flight." "Fantastic," the girl replied. She and Reb Zayed both hastened to the gate in time to board. Once the plane was finally airborne, a flight attendant named Uri approached Reb Zayed. "What do you make of all the strange events that happened today with this flight?" he asked. "Honestly, I thought about it and realized that the only possible answer is that there was tremendous Hashkacha Pratis here today. You and I both know this type of thing never happens. Today, though, this young woman's prayers were so powerful that I believe she elicited Hashem's help. He wanted to make sure she wouldn't miss the flight, so he caused the engine to spew smoke." Uri nodded in agreement. "Rabbi, you know, I'm not a religious Jew, but I couldn't help but come to the same conclusion. I saw how that woman prayed with such devotion, and it seemed that her prayers literally stopped the plane in its tracks." Seizing upon Uri's moment of inspiration, Reb Zayed suggested that he attend the seminar offered by Arachim. "You could learn a little bit more about Judaism," the rabbi suggested. "You might even learn how to use the power of prayer you just saw displayed." Only a few days later, Uri attended his first Arachim seminar. Intrigued and inspired, he began attending every week, and within a few short months, became a Baal Tshuva. 6 months later, Reb Zayed got a phone call from Uri. "Someone suggested a shidduch for me," explained. "Would you be willing to look into the girl's references for me?" Reb Zayed was delighted to help Uri. He began making phone calls to the young lady's references and discovered that she was indeed someone of fine character and a high level of amunah. He heard from several references that in recent months she had taken upon herself a special commitment to tefillah as a schus for finding her long-awaited shidduch. On one particular call, the young lady's close friend illustrated the point with a story. "She has an amazing power of tefillah. I mean, really unusual. In fact, recently she was waiting for a flight, and she was in the middle of davening mincha while they were boarding. She just stood there and finished davening, even though she had missed the flight. In the end, such a shkacha protest, the plane was delayed by a strange mechanical problem, and she got on it after all." Reb Zayed thanked her and quickly dialed Uri's number. "You found your basharity," exclaimed, and indeed he had. So we see again that tefillah done properly, what it can really accomplish. And we, it's not necessarily a tefillah even for that aspect, but if we really connect to Hashem, Hashem will look out for us and take care of us where we need to be taken care of. And the homework, obviously, is to focus at least once during the week on the second half of Az Yashir. And with that, Bez Hashem, we will move into Yishtabach next week.